Podcast Fresh.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Gaming Asylum here on the Podcast Fresh Network. I am your host, Ryan Mello, aka Acapello. And today will be the presumably I think will be the last show that I'll do for this particular show for the year. And I thought it would be fitting to maybe further extend what we did on the cafe. Obviously just talking about myself. I just feel like the year of 2023 was amazing for gaming, especially like just for me personally. Like, I'm gonna be talking about my own personal standpoint on the year, what I'm into, what got announced that like hyped me up, and you know, things that I played. I feel like we are not gonna have a year like this for a while. I could be wrong on that, and I hope I am, because if this keeps happening, I mean, we're eating good out here. But I think 2023 was very just full of surprises, full of good stuff. And yeah, I think for me, it's probably my favorite year for gaming, or at least it's up there for sure. So yeah, before we get into it, I just want to remind everybody, follow our podcast on Instagram at Podcast Fresh. Follow us on Twitter at Podcast Fresh TO. Email us at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. What else? The Gaming Asylum on Instagram, that's a thing. The Gaming Asylum on YouTube, that's also a thing. And if you want to follow my personal, follow at official_acapello. And if you want to follow my co-host, Chris Torres, at Torres Unlimited. Jeez, I can't talk tonight, I'm sorry. Anyways, let's get into it. So looking back at 2023, personally for me, February 10th is when, February 10th was the first release that got me excited and hyped up for the year. That was Hogwarts Legacy. Hogwarts Legacy came out of nowhere to me. I mean, I've said it before. If you follow our show, you'll know. But the wife is a huge Harry Potter fan. She doesn't typically game these kind of games. Like, she likes her Animal Crossings and stuff. But, like, this is, like, this, you know, third-person adventure action game, whatever you want to call it. Like, that's not her style, especially because she gets motion sickness with most of these games. So a lot of this like kind of like swings by her. But this one was one that she was like laser focused on. She didn't care about her sickness. She had to like get it. She had to beat it. And she did. She followed through. She had to take many breaks, but eventually she beat it. But anyway, I eventually, like, you know, upon her first playthrough, once I laid eyes on it, I was like, this actually is kind of cool. And then, of course, I start my own profile. And then, there we go. When she's at work, I'm playing Hogwarts. When I'm at work, she's playing Hogwarts. And it was honestly, for a long time, it was my favorite game of the year. Until, like, maybe the summertime. But I think, for a couple months, man, that dominated for me. Like, I spent 110 hours in that game. I just did my PlayStation Wrapped, and that's what I got. It really, like, just surprised me. I think it really delivered on its scope. A lot of people find it boring. I don't know why people find it boring. I honestly can't relate to that at all. I think it's got a lot of stuff to do. I think it's got a ton of like side quests and exploration, things to find, things to collect, customizing your room. The mission's good. The story's good. If you're a fan of any of the movies and the books, like, you're gonna love this game. This is a must-have for Harry Potter fans, as proven by my typical non-gaming wife. So that's all I'm saying. I got this game for the PlayStation 5. It ran awesome. I loved it. And yeah, I don't know if I'll ever go back to it, but I'm very glad that I actually got into it and beat it through. After that, Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line came out on February 16th. The Final Fantasy Rhythm game. This is, you guys know I do the Gaming Asylum Radio, so obviously video game music is like big for me. This is like right up my alley. I think Final Fantasy has some of the best music ever, and a whole game about it with like 300 plus songs plus DLCs for like other Square Enix titles. Like, I was right at home with that one. I spent a lot of time on that before eventually, I feel like a game like that, you just play until it gets too hard and it starts kicking your ass. Because honestly, by the time you get to like, you know, I don't know, 20 or 30 hours in, it's like, okay, these songs are a little too hard, and I'm kind of over it. But that was a really nice addition to the Switch. It also came out for PS4, but yeah, I had a good time with that. After that, oh man, Metroid Prime Remastered came out on February 22nd for the Switch. That game was something that came at the right time for me, because I had Metroid Prime, like I have it for the GameCube, but I never had time to play it. It's always just sat there in my collection. And I'm like, you know what? This remake's coming out. It's going to look awesome. Even though the GameCube version still looks awesome to this day. You can totally play that. But it's going to look great. It's going to be polished. And I don't know. Like, I'm kind of... I always like... Metroid is that one series that's like, every time a new entry comes out, I get it. And I'm very excited. But then I don't play it. And I don't know what it is. It could be because of the... You know, I'm almost intimidated by its challenge, or I'm intimidated by its atmosphere. But it's a game that has very entertaining lore to me. Like, I really want to get into it because of that. And the gameplay is fun. It's just that, you know, I was always, like, looking at the 2D Metroids, the side-scrolling ones, which I've dabbled in a lot. But Metroid Prime, of course, was when the series jumped to 3D as a first-person shooter. And if you know me, first-person shooters and me do not mix well. So this one was... easily the one that I was like, okay, if I'm ever gonna get into this genre, or at least if I'm ever gonna play a game that I like in this genre besides Doom, because Doom is my favorite FPS, the original Doom, then this would probably be it. And honestly, I played a lot of it. I was about 15 hours in and I liked it a lot, but then I got stuck at some point, and then other things came up in my life, and then I had to kind of put it down, and then I just never went back to it. But I will say, as of now, besides Doom, Metroid Prime is my favorite FPS. And I know it's not considered an FPS by Nintendo's views, but it is. I really like that game. That game is actually really awesome. It makes you feel like you're alone in this world, and you're exploring, there's platforming. Like, it's not just shooting, which I think I like. There's a lot of puzzle elements, platforming elements, all the power-ups you get. Like, it's actually very fun to traverse, and I think one day I'll give it another shot and actually try to make it to the end, or if it's not such a pain in the ass to pick up and go from my save file, hopefully I could just do that. But yeah, Metroid Prime, man, it's one of the greatest games ever made for a reason. Like, if even I, a first person hater, can like see value in it, then I feel like it's definitely done its job. All right, after that, Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe came out on February 24th. That was on the Switch, obviously. That was a remake of the Wii game, which I never played. Not a big Kirby guy. I dabble in it, but it's like, you know, whatever. Kirby Forgotten Land, the first 3D Kirby, was awesome. I played that one. And I played the N64 one, the Crystal Shards. That was also pretty cool. But this one, you know what? I bought it with the intention to play with the wife, co-op. And it really surprised me. I actually had a lot of fun with this game. This game was actually really good. I was kind of, you know, scared or worried that it was going to be like Star Allies, the first Kirby Switch game, because that game sucks. That game is way too easy and way too short, and honestly, it's kind of bland. But this one, no. This one has got a lot of variety, a lot of characters to play as. The levels are very varied in their design. I love the power-ups. The bosses are good. Like, it's honestly pretty good. I like this game a lot. After that, Octopath Traveler 2 came out. I played the first game on the Switch when it came out. Liked it. Octopath Traveler 2 is one that I just haven't played yet. I haven't really gotten the itch to play it. And I blame that on another game that I played this year, Live Alive. Live Alive, to me, crushed the first Octopath Traveler. Like, Live Alive is so goddamn good. And I know that Octopath Traveler is actually... like, the concept of it is from Live Alive, but Live Alive is, like, I don't know, man. That was just such a well-constructed RPG, and honestly, it should have been on my top 10 list, and I think it was there at one point, but then it got etched out. But I don't know, Live Alive was really awesome. So Octopath Traveler 2, I've heard it's good. Like, I've heard it's probably better than the first one, because the first one, as pretty as it looks and all that, the story's kind of forced. Like, there's no reason for these characters to kind of meet and stuff, and I heard like a little bit of that is retconned, or not retconned, that's not the proper word, it's it's what's the word, whatever, they did it better in Octopath Traveler 2. But I don't know, Live Alive is just like, it's set such a high standard that I'm just kind of like, whatever, it can't be as good as Live Alive, so I'll just wait. But that's not fair to the game, so I'll play it. It's on my to-do list. That was it for February. Then we jumped into April, where I picked one game up. I haven't played it yet, but it got me intrigued because growing up, I missed all of this. I missed a bunch of Game Boy titles, and I'm talking about the Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection. That was like the weird RPG Mega Man series that was going on the Game Boy Advance, and they were doing the Pokemon formula where they would have like two versions come out for every game. And no one I grew up with played this. Like, no kids in the schoolyard were like obsessed with this. No one talked about these games. I watched a bit of the, I believe there was an anime or a show about it. I watched a bit of that. But other than that, like, I'm totally blind to, like, this Mega Man RPG game. Like, to me, Mega Man has always been, like, side-scrolling shooter, you know, like, get the power-ups, face the bosses. Mega Man X being my favorite Mega Man of all time. So to me, it's like, this one completely missed me. Also, because every time I got the chance to get a game, I'd always go for, like, the console, you know, whether it was the GameCube or the Wii or whatever. So, to me, it's like, you know, the Game Boy Advance, I just completely skipped out on. But I do own this, and I will play it at some point on the Nintendo Switch, so I look forward to that. Then May rolled around. May brought me. We're going to keep talking about me, because it's not about us, it's about me, my personal experience with the year. Marvel's Midnight Suns for PS4 and Xbox One. This game intrigued me just because it's a Marvel game. I usually check out, you know, whatever's Marvel, but it's a card game, and I tried it out. I couldn't get into it, man. I don't know what it is. I couldn't get into it. I mean, I know what it is. I'm not into card games. You know, card games to me are something I prefer physically, or like a mobile game, like Marvel Snap, for example, which is awesome. But this one was like, when it came to combat, these cards came out. But then it has intriguing, like, features. You make a character, you interact with all the Marvel characters at the mansion, and like, you guys are trying to figure it out. I did play a little bit of it, and that was kind of intriguing. It was cool, like, but then like when the combat happened, it's like, I feel like it didn't click with me, but I feel like if I really give it another try, I can learn to like it. I could even learn to love it, really, because I hear it's not bad. You know, I hear, like, you just kind of gotta adapt and get into it. And then after that, like, the game is good. I feel like I just gotta give it another try. Marvel's Midnight Suns has always been something that I've been intrigued by, because I don't really know the Midnight Suns, like, storyline or anything like that from the comics. So it just looks cool. Like, it looks pretty awesome. So hopefully that will grow on me at some point. And then May 12th. My favorite game of the year, supposedly, like I said on the Cafe Show, my top three picks can take game of the year. But The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom came out on May 12th. What do you say about Tears of the Kingdom at this point that, you know, no one's said yet? It's crazy. It's an innovative title. It did a lot different than the first game, or at least it added a lot that was different from the first game. The imagination, creativity, and just, you know, sheer willingness to make whatever you want in this game is off the chain. It's crazy. I've seen some insane things. Just the other day, I actually saw someone put like 50 gates together vertically with a wooden platform on top and a wooden stick. And then they were using that. Oh, and then there were wheels at the bottom. And they were using that to traverse, like, the lakes and the ponds and the oceans and shit in the water. And I was like, this is just insane. I didn't even think to do that. That's something I kind of want to try because it looked fun. But, you know, and then out of that, it's like fusing the weapons, jumping through platforms, jumping upwards through walls and ceilings and stuff, fusing weapons, seeing what you can get, mixing items and you know, enemy drops to those weapons and to your arrows and just throwing those things and see what they do. It's like, there's so much innovation here. Like, the mechanics are just crazy, wild. And other than that, like, besides that, I feel like the story is a lot better than the first game. I think Tears of the Kingdom's story is a lot better than Breath of the Wild's. I liked Zelda's role a lot more in this game. I liked the fact that the world progressed since the first game. You saw what people, like what happened after the events of the first game. You saw how people were rebuilding Castletown, for example. And like other people are now, like one of the towns like now has a government and stuff like that. Like it was cool to see. I think that the only problem I have with this game, honestly, and I've talked about it on the cafe, to me, it struggles. It has an identity crisis to me, because when you look at a gameplay of Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom with Link running down the field, besides little subtle cues that like you'd know because you played the games, someone that didn't play the games would think they're the same game, you know? Like when you're not doing that crazy stuff in Tears of the Kingdom and you're just running, it can pass for Breath of the Wild if you don't know what you're looking for. Like, unless you notice like Link's longer hair or the fact that the Ultra Hand symbol is on the top left instead of whatever the Cryonis symbol was in Breath of the Wild. Like, realistically, what's telling these games apart? A lot of people liken these games to Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time was a smash hit, blockbuster fucking title for Nintendo. And then they followed it up with Majora's Mask, which they used the same assets. And it came out like a year later. But the thing is, it has its own identity. It even though it's using the same assets and Link looks the same and everything, it looks completely different. You know what you're looking at when you look at a side-by-side, you know, gameplay video of Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time. Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom isn't like that. And that's, to me, is like, okay, I guess, you know what I liken it to? I liken it to Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2. Mario Galaxy 2 just had a lot more ideas that they couldn't cram into the first one, so they just made a second game. This was like, they made Breath of the Wild, they had a lot more things they wanted to put into it, they had a lot more ideas that came after the game release, and they were like, you know what, let's just put it in the second game. And then they made a sequel. Recently, Eiji Aonuma said that, like, you know, they're done with this world and they're moving on to something else. And I'm very happy to hear that, because I really don't think there's much else you could do here. But Tears of the Kingdom is a phenomenal game, and, you know, I urge everyone to play it. All right. After that, we're in June. And on June 2nd, Street Fighter 6 came out for the PlayStation 4, 5, PC, Xbox Series X. I picked this game up recently, actually, on Black Friday. I like it a lot, but I think the World Tour mode is kind of whatever. I started it and I was kind of hyped about it, but then it's just like, I just want to fight, you know? Like, I play Street Fighter to fight, not to follow some crazy storyline that, like, doesn't really matter at the end of the day. And it's nothing different. You're just trying to be the best fighter in the world, and, you know, Street Fighter characters are training you. And there might be more to that, because I only played up to, like, learning Chun-Li's abilities, but, like, you know, I'd rather just fight. Give me the arcade mode, let me fight. That being said, I love the way the game looks. I think it's a lot better than 5. I like 6's presentation a lot more. I like a lot of the character designs in this one. I like that there's more characters in this one, never mind. And I know Capcom's still going to Capcom and do a lot of microtransactions on this, but whatever, that's just the nature of this beast. But I think as a game, Street Fighter 6 is actually very, very good. And I hope to play with Chris sometime, because I know he's a Street Fighter guy too. I gotta whip his ass. Alright, after that, Crash Team Rumble came out on June 20th, and I don't hear anybody talk about this game. I've never played this game, to be honest. The only reason why it's on my radar is because of Crash Bandicoot, and I like Crash Bandicoot. So if I ever play that, I'll give you guys an update. But it's not looking too good, because that it relies on the live service stuff, so at least I think it does, whatever. Anyway, let's talk about the real MVP for June. Final Fantasy 16 came out June 22nd. I was super excited for this game because Final Fantasy mark here. And when I found out it was rated M, and the fact that, like, it was more of an action game, I just thought, like, okay, Square Enix is trying new things. Like, I wasn't so down on it like everyone else. Like, yes, I prefer RPG style. Yes, I'm not a fan of the medieval stuff too much, usually. But this game did it so good, and it was just entertaining through and through. The story was amazing to me. If you like Game of Thrones, you're gonna love this game. The voice acting was phenomenal. The story, well, I've talked about the story. The story was good. But yeah, the voice acting was really good. I like the combat. Like, a lot of people dog on the combat for being a single button press system. That's not the case, man. You can mix so much stuff in there. If tapping that square button was literally the only thing you did, these bosses would take hours for you to beat. So there's a lot to it. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot of abilities you unlock. There's a lot of different gameplay or combat styles that you unlock that you can mix in with other styles. It's awesome. I loved it. You know, there's different costumes now. There's a DLC that just came out. The part one of two is out, and they added Cloud's Buster Sword, which I kind of dabbled with, and it is just hilarious seeing Clive like walk around with a Buster Sword on his back, swinging it and stuff. It's a great Final Fantasy game. It's honestly an amazing Final Fantasy game. Final Fantasy 15 was the one that got me into the series, funny enough, you know, and I'm forever grateful for that game, but I know that game has a lot of issues. This game, to me, is way better than that game. It's more entertaining. And I just feel like I'm excited for Final Fantasy 17, whatever that's going to be. I feel like they're probably going to go in a different direction because this game is super split amongst the fans. Like, I think casuals probably like it, but the fans of Final Fantasy are, like, very half and half. Me, I welcome the change. Like, I knew what I was getting when the Devil May Cry combat guy signed up for this and was designing the combat for this game. I already knew what I was getting into. I don't know why people are so surprised once it came out, but whatever. And, oh, man, I forgot to talk about it, but the boss battles, the icon battles in this, holy shit. Like, my PS5 was about to fly through the ceiling into orbit. Like, the fans were going nuts to run those battles. Like, they looked amazing. They ran awesome. And I liked damn near all of them. There wasn't one that I thought was bad. They were just fantastic. I loved it. If you haven't played Final Fantasy 16, do yourself a favor and do it. After that, AEW Fight Forever came out. I was interested in this. I still haven't picked this up, I'll be honest. That came out on June 29th. I was going to pick it up. I might still pick it up for the right price once I see it in that $20 range. But, like, it's so... Like, I know the point is to deliver that old school, like, you know, N64 wrestling game simplicity to just be fun. But it doesn't look great to me. And people say it plays good, and I believe it, like, 100%. But I just feel like this is a steep ask at $60 for what they offer. I feel like it had to be a little bit more polished. I feel like it could have used more time in that oven. And I don't know, it's just unappealing to look at. And here's the thing, I'm talking from, like, you're hearing this opinion from someone that likes the WWE 2K games. Like, I like those games. I like the sim aspect of those games. I spend a lot of time of my life playing those games. So to go back to something like this is kind of, like, hard for me, I guess. I did love No Mercy in WrestleMania 2000 on N64. But, you know, once I left that and played Day of Reckoning, and then I played WWE SmackDown vs. Raw, and then I played the 2K series, like, it's just hard to go backwards now. But whatever, I'm going to give it a try at some point once the price is right. I'll pick it up. But till then, hopefully this game just gets better with updates that come out. The only game in July that I cared about was Double Dragon Gaiden Rise of the Dragons. I picked that up for the Switch on July 27th. It came out. Aw, man, that was a great game. I played that co-op. There was roguelike elements, which is something that I don't really care for usually, but honestly, I had a great time with Double Dragon. Played a co-op with the wife. Loved picking different characters and doing runs. I beat the game about 3 times. It's got amazing music. If you like Double Dragon, like, this is... Like, the art style was kind of iffy at first, but then I kind of liked it. But if you like Double Dragon, this is a no-brainer. It's got that same soul, you know? It's got that same Double Dragon flavor. It's got a lot to offer, honestly. The music is good. Power-ups are good. Levels are good. Enemies are good. The final boss is a prick, but once you learn, you got it. Yeah, I don't know. There's just not much to say bad about this game. Also, it just feels good to hit people in this game. That crunch when, like, the hits connect is like, oh, yeah. You just want to keep beating the shit out of people, and it's that's what this is for. So You got some anger to dish out. Pick up Double Dragon Guide. August came around with three releases that I was interested in. Red Dead Redemption came out on August 17th. I picked that up way later in like October. I've never played this game before. I totally wasn't into this when it came out. I wasn't really playing video games. I was solely skateboarding. That's all I cared about. But when Red Dead Redemption 2 came out, I picked that up and I fell in love with that game. That game is still one of my favorites of all time. And it made me want to go back and watch cutscenes for this. So I actually saw every cutscene of this game back in 2018 or whenever Red Dead 2 came out. So I knew about the ending and all that. But like, I never really wanted to actually play it just because I thought it was a waste of time. Like, I was like, okay, Red Dead 2 just looks so much better. There's so much more you can do. That going back to like the Xbox 360 PS3 game is like kind of antiquated. So I was like, eh, I'm not going to play it. It's fine. But then when they release this, it's hard for me to like ignore it because it just, you know, same box as the Red Dead 2. So then you got both of them together side by side. And it's just, you know, obviously my ADHD or not my ADHD, my OCD kicks in and I need to have it. But at least I played it, man. I picked it up. I played it. I thoroughly enjoyed my playthrough of it. I thought it was still a good story. I just had a good time with it. And then once I got to the end, one thing I wasn't really aware of, and this is spoilers. This whole thing is spoilers. Guys, I'm going to spoil every game I talk about if I have to. But, you know, the game is over 10 years old. I wasn't ready for the ending in the way that I thought. Meaning, they really make John and Jack spent a lot of time together, and just John in general spent a lot of time with his family. And then I was like, oh God, this is how it's going to kill me. Like, when he dies, it's because of this. This is what kills me, because he's making good with his family, spending time with his kid, his wife. Oh man. Then when the ending happened, I still felt a little bit, you know, of a way, even though I saw it coming. But I can't imagine people back in the day that were like hooked on this game and loved this game. I bet the ending just screwed them right up. And you know, that's a good feeling to have, man. That means the game did its job. It made you feel something, and that's all you really want at the end of the day. But yeah, Red Dead Redemption, man. Great game. If you haven't played it, play that. And then play Red Dead 2 if you haven't played that yet. They need to make Red Dead 3. They just do. And I hope Sadie is the main character. I think that would be fun. Oh, man, after that, a game I've been keeping tabs on for years. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk came out for the Switch on August 18th, so a day later. And goddamn, I had so much fun. I think at this point, I wasn't really, besides Zelda, I wasn't really playing my Switch anymore because June had passed by and, you know, all my time went to PS5. And then July, I dipped back into the Switch for Double Dragon, but then I kind of dipped out and I played a lot of stuff on my PlayStation, you know, in the meantime, in the background. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk was the game I remember that made me go back to my Switch, and God, I love this game. This was in my top 10. This game is just, if you like Jet Set Radio, and because there hasn't been a Jet Set Radio, this is the game you get. Trust me, guys, it's very good. You play as a bunch of characters in this. You unlock a lot of characters. The music is bumping. The graphics are great. It just feels like a Sega game, which is awesome. You know, Sega back in the Dreamcast days. You ride a skateboard, you parkour, you ride a bike, and yes, you rollerblade. And, you know, there's just this story going on that you're following, and it's kind of goofy. It's actually kind of crazy. Like, it's actually pretty introspective. Like, it makes you really think about your life, I guess. And you're not really expecting that with something like this, but, I mean, just for context, like, the first scenes of the game, like, your character gets his head chopped off. So it's kind of insane. And then you kind of spend the game trying to find your head. It's kind of fucked up. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was fun. This game is definitely more about the journey rather than the destination. But even then, I thought the destination was good, too. I liked it. Whatever. Yeah, I just picked up the physical for this. I have to have it. This is, like, one of my favorite games of all time. It was just so goddamn good. I might dip back in. Then after that, Sea of Stars came out about 10 days later, 9 days later. That's one I haven't touched yet. I played the demo. I really liked it. That's how I knew I would pick it up. I haven't picked it up yet though. It's just another RPG, and there's just so many of those on my plate that it's like this one has to wait in line. But I am aware of it, and I'm also aware that they just took out Gerard the Completionist from it because of his recent bullshit that he's been doing with the charity scam. That is just insane to me. So now I know that his NPC is gone, which is just, I don't know, it's kind of funny to me, but whatever. His favorite game took him out of it. But anyway, Sea of Stars. I'll play that one day. September rolls around, and the first mobile game on the list, probably the only mobile game on the list that I cared about, hit the scene, and that was Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis. I played it a little bit. Once I saw what it was, I was like, yeah, okay, it's another one of these things. I tried it. I played it for a couple months. I could not get into it much longer. Once those gacha mechanics kick in, like, it does do a retelling of, like, the original game in a very simplified way, and that's fine. But, like, that's not really the point of it. As far as, like, mobile games go, it's not bad, you know? I think it's pretty good. And the gacha system isn't that, like, in your face, I guess. But if you're not used to these crazy menus and stuff, I could see you just looking at this and being like, yo, get this away from me. And I was like that at first, but because it's Final Fantasy VII, you kind of put the... At least I put the extra effort to try to understand it and get used to it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just not... Mobile games, I like when they're more simple. I like simple puzzle games, simple card games, simple whatever. And something like this is like... It's just something that I'm never actually going to sit and play. Because the minute I have a minute to sit and play something, it's going to be on a TV or on the Switch or whatever, right? So, this one just didn't do it for me. Alright, after that, Super Bomberman R2 came out. Haven't played it yet. And the same goes for Mortal Kombat 1, which I also haven't played, which is weird because I'm more of a Mortal Kombat guy than a Street Fighter guy. But Street Fighter was on sale and Mortal Kombat was not. So, I am yet to play those. But I'm excited to play Mortal Kombat for sure. Super Bomberman, I just, you know, it's a fun little time. Play with people, play with friends. Yeah, I'll pick it up eventually. October rolled around. Oh boy. And what came out first? Sonic Superstars came out on October 17th for all the systems, pretty much. I am yet to get this. I typically like side-scrolling Sonic games. I don't hear the best things about this game. Like, it's like a 7 at best out of 10. But, like, God, you know what the most heartbreaking thing is about this is? They say the music isn't that good. And that kills me because if I'm going to play Sonic, even if it's not the greatest game, at least I know I'm going to have a good time with the music. Because those, it's got some of the best music ever. But even then, in this one, it's like not even that great, I hear. And that kind of sucks. Like, that hurts me more than anything. Because, like, Sonic is like... This sucks to say. I expect it to suck half the time. You know, I expect it to not be the greatest thing ever. But the music, I'm always expecting to be a banger. But now, it's like, what am I looking forward to with this? You know? I like the graphical style. I like the way the characters look. And I like... you know, I just like the fact that it's like a 2D Sonic game. But I'm not going to lie, I do prefer like a Sonic Mania looking game more than this. I kind of wish this was that. This honestly looks like it controls a lot like Sonic 4 when they tried to do that catastrophe. That sucked. I hope that's not the case, but, you know, I don't know. I think about that game more than Sonic Mania. That's a problem to me. Hopefully I'm wrong on that, but when the time comes, I'll pick this up. October 20th rolled around. By the way, this was like probably the craziest month. October 20th rolled around. Marvel Spider-Man 2 came out for the PlayStation 5. I picked that up day one, loaded it up day one, and I was hooked. I'm a massive Spider-Man fan. He is my favorite superhero of all time. Batman is at a close second, but I love the first game a lot. The first game actually made me jump to PS4 because for the longest time since the 360 days, I was an Xbox person. I was an X drone. But, and that was simply because, like, my friends had Xboxes and we all played GTA together and other stuff. So everyone just kept getting Xboxes. So I went from the 360 to an Xbox One. But then, when I found out about this game coming out and it was going to be a PS4 exclusive, I'm talking about the first Spider-Man. I knew I had to get a PS4 because you know, Spider-Man was my boy and I needed to play it. And my lovely wife surprised me with a PS4 at some point, and she even pre-ordered the game for me, which was awesome. And then when that one came out, I was in love. I love that game so much. It's awesome. That is one of my favorite portrayals of Peter Parker as a, you know, just a person. Like, I think they do a good job showing an older Peter Parker, because Peter Parker in high school, like, we always see that. But when this was someone that, like, was struggling with, like, paying rent, having a job, still going to school. Like, was he going to school? No, I don't believe he was going to school. I think he was just doing a job. But, you know, balancing a relationship that had already fallen through with MJ. Like, I think it really shed some light on a different Peter, that at least, you know, a Peter that we don't see a lot. And I'm talking about the PS4 version, because that original model is excellent. The model they picked after, that they're using now, is ass. I don't like it. But anyway, Yuri Lowenthal does a great job voicing him. I love the writing for him, and, you know, the suits in the game are awesome. You know, whatever. You know. Miles Morales comes out, further, you know, makes me appreciative of the series. Like, I love that game to death as well. Made me love Miles even more. And that was a good little romp. It was about a 6 to 10 hour romp. This one comes out, I'm instantly in love again. Like, I didn't expect to happen a third time. I thought I would just kind of be lukewarm on it because, like, I've already seen this a lot of times. But no, I was into it again. This one had a lot of surprises. And full spoilers. I'm giving you 5 seconds. Okay. All right. When you got to play as Venom, man, I fanned out like a little boy. Like, I could not believe what I was doing. It reminded me so much of the Ultimate Spider-Man game, which I think Spider-Man 2 does a couple shout-outs to old games. I think it really does. But, man, it just reminded me of Ultimate Spider-Man when you played as Venom going through the city terrorizing everybody and stuff. This was a lot more tamed. It was in a building, the sequence, but, like, oh, it was so goddamn good. I loved it. And then, you know, like, simple things like playing as Peter Parker, riding your bike with Harry, like, trying to make those character moments. The new additions, the web wings, the new swinging mechanics that they added, like doing a loop-de-loop for, like, maximum launching and all that. And the launch thing where you do two webs and then you slingshot yourself. Like, goddamn, that shit was so good. And I really like the story. I love the boss fights. Everything was good about this game. I think the only thing that I didn't really care much about was Miles' stupid suit that he gets where it shows his hair. I didn't care for that at all. But needless to say, I am excited about where this series is going. I know Insomniac just got hit with a bunch of leaks, so there are a lot of plans for the Spider-Man series. I know that. I don't want to talk about it here, but if you know, you know. I think it's really good. I think it's an amazing game, and I really loved it. And I platinumed it. So I'm on, still going strong with the platinums for the Spider-Man games. There's the third one is in the bag. All right. After that, Super Mario Brothers Wonder came out. I picked that up probably a week later. And, you know, these games I typically play co-op, and I did that with this. And I was excited for this game, but I wasn't, like, you know, foaming at the mouth for it, I guess. Because I've played 2D Mario all my life. I know what to expect. I know what's coming. Things I was excited for this was the new art style. I thought it looked really pretty. The new perspective, it's almost like Mario's running at you the whole time, not really sideways. I thought that did a lot for the art style. The new voices were fine. I thought they were cool. The music seems alright. It seemed alright, you know. But, you know, Mario really has good music. And I thought, like, you know, the whole Wonder Flower thing, like, it was probably the best part of the game, like, where it was like, okay, I really wonder what all these are gonna do, because every level, like, you know, goes topsy-turvy, goes crazy shit. And then I play it, and for the most part, like, I like the game. Like, it's still good. It's still a Mario game. The worst Mario game is better than, like, the best whatever game, you know? But it's got something about it that doesn't grab me, and I talked a bit about this on the podcast, Cafe, but, you know, it could be because I'm playing a co-op and the camera just pisses me off so goddamn much, where it does that thing where if you're too far off screen, it just zaps you back near the other player. But the thing is, like, it always focuses on one player, and that one player is determined by who got, like, higher on the flagpole in the previous level. It's so fucking weird. And I wasn't into that much. Like, the whole camera really pisses me off. I got to, like, World 6 or something, and, like, I haven't picked it up since. We haven't really wanted to get back into it. I have no doubt I'll go back and finish it, because typically you finish these things, but, yeah, I don't know. It's, it's not my favorite Mario game. It's good, but it's not, like, amazing, you know? And typically these are amazing. But we'll see where this whole series goes. I'm actually kind of intrigued, because I do think it, this one had to walk before the next one can run. I feel like the next one's going to be fantastic. But I do hope the next Mario game is a 3D game, because Odyssey was amazing, and I'd like a follow-up, please. All right. Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1. This was something that I couldn't believe was coming out. Metal Gear coming back is special. This series is actually very weird when it comes to, like, its relationship with me. So I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast. I think it's been alluded to over the years, but back in 2020, my wife broke her neck, and that was during COVID. So she was in the hospital by herself. We were not allowed to go in and visit. So our days, me and her family, and sometimes my family, we were just outside all day in the parking lot, just waiting for some news from a doctor. And she, you know, there was a chance she could have been paralyzed. There was a chance that she would never walk again. Hell, there was a chance that the surgery would go wrong and, like, maybe just kill her. It was a heavy time. It was heavy stuff. And that honestly kick-started a bunch of other things that followed, but whatever, we're not going to get into that. But when that game, or when that was all happening, you know, when nighttime came, like, whatever, you go home, I'm sleeping alone, and, like, you know, me and her dog at the time, who sadly passed away, were just kind of, you know, chill in bed, I guess. Like, I can't sleep, whatever. But I remember my wife saying that, you know, a long time ago, like, Chris, obviously her brother, he would play, like, a Splinter Cell game or something that she, like, kind of liked. And to me, like, that came to my head at the time. I didn't have any Splinter Cell games, but I had Metal Gear Solid, and I thought, okay, I think they, I don't know if this is true. I mean, I think it's true, but at the time, like, Splinter Cell was made to combat Metal Gear or vice versa, something like that. Anyway, at least that's what I thought at the time. So to me, I was like, I'm going to pop this in and, you know, play it for her. Like, I feel like it'd make me feel better, like, to experience something like this, because up to that point, like, I haven't played anything like that. I don't play these kind of games. So every night, I'd start playing Metal Gear for about 30 minutes a night to an hour. Then I'd eventually get tired and sleep. But I kept doing that. And then Chris also popped it in. So we were playing that at the same time while she was in the hospital. And I think it just kind of made me feel like I was with her, or I was doing something she would like to see, which made me kind of feel better about it. And yeah, that's how I passed my days. Like, she was in the hospital for about 7 to 8 days or something like that. And I'd play little chunks of that game every night. And eventually, when I beat it, she literally was coming out of the hospital, like, a couple days later, or even the next day, I forget. And, you know, that game, I don't know, man. Metal Gear Solid was just kind of there for me during that, when I was, like, alone with my thoughts and I couldn't sleep and, like, everything looked like it was going to shit. And, you know, we pulled through. She pulled through. She's a strong woman. She, you know, she bounced back, and now she's dancing again. She's a dance teacher by trade. So, you know, nothing can stop this woman, and I'm a very lucky guy. But yeah, the series just kind of left its mark on me from then on, because after that, the year after, because Metal Gear was weird for me, where it was like, because of that, I didn't want to look at it anymore, because I was like, okay, this is done. This phase is done. And Metal Gear Solid was kind of like in that phase. It's kind of like lumped in with that. But then once I was ready, I jumped into Metal Gear Solid 2, and then 3, and then 4, and then 5, and Peace Walker, and Portable Ops, and I love this series now. This series is one of the best series ever, I swear to God. And Metal Gear Solid 5 was on my top 10 of the year for sure. I finally finished that beast this year. But anyway, all that to say, when they announced this trilogy, and the fact that it's coming to modern consoles, man, you know your boy's happy. You know I'm gonna get it. I got it, but I haven't popped it in yet. But it's like, just the fact that it's back, just the fact that Konami is acknowledging this again, is just amazing to me. And of course, this also comes with the announcement that they're remaking Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, which that one I'm pretty sure is my favorite in the series. You know, I'm always flip-flopping, but that is probably my favorite in the series. And up to this point, we've seen some gameplay. It looks amazing, man. I am so happy, and I can't believe, like, Metal Gear Solid is coming back. They are starting to bring it back. They brought a collection back. They're remaking a game, which I think would spawn a bunch of other remakes. Like, hey, man, Metal Gear's back, man. And it's a good reality to live in. So, eventually I'll get into this. I know it's not, like, the best collection. I've heard some complaints, but I don't know. To me, it's like, I'll take what I can get. Just the fact that it's a thing is, I'm good with that, you know? Yeah, so sorry, I didn't mean to get so sentimental on that or personal, but I feel like Metal Gear is just important to me, and I had to explain why. Okay, November rolled around. We're almost at the end of the year, guys. Hold on. RoboCop comes out. That's a game, first person, that I'm not, you know, again, not a fan of first person, but RoboCop is intriguing to me, and I will play that at some point. Then Star Ocean, the second story R, came out on November 2nd. PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch. And that's actually what I'm currently playing. I popped it in about a week ago. Currently about 15 to 20 hours. I love this game. This game is very good. Haven't played a Star Ocean game ever. I figured this was a good one to start because I heard it's the friendliest. I heard it's probably the best in the series. The remake looks incredible, man. Square has found a winning formula with this 2D HD art style. This one isn't even like that. This one is actually a step above of the usual 2D HD, where it's like 3D environments, but like actually 3D rendered, not just 3D pixelated environments, with the 2D pixelated models running around, and it works. Like, it, for some reason, it just works very well. The voice acting is good, not great, but I think it's okay. I like the characters. I like the fact that there's like a lot of party members that you can recruit. And yeah, Star Ocean. It's honestly just a really fun time right now. I'm not bored of it. There was one time a couple days ago I wanted to put it down because something was pissing me off. But that was before I realized that I was doing the game with only two party members when I could have had four. So like this boss battle that I was stuck on was just harder for no goddamn reason. I could have just recruited two people and like been okay. But whatever, that wasn't the case. But yeah, right now I'm having a really good time with it. Great music, great graphics, great story. I'm going to see it through to the end. I have Star Ocean First Departure R. I might jump into that after because I don't know. I feel like this game's making me a fan of this series. So PlayStation 1 RPG, you can never go wrong, I guess. So yeah, I'm playing that right now. After that, WarioWare Move It came out on November 3rd. I have not picked that up yet, but I intend to. WarioWare is a fun series, fun minigames, great for parties, great for playing it with friends. I know this one is very, what's it called? You do a lot of motion controls with this one. That is the focus, but I've never really had a problem with motion controls. I'm not a motion control hater, so I'll definitely pick it up and try it at some point. Should be fun. And then Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars came out on November 17th. Actually, no, the new title is just Super Mario RPG. Legend of the Seven Stars is a Super Nintendo thing. But yeah, November 17th, this game comes out. This is going to be crazy. I don't know if I should. This is probably my favorite Mario game. I feel like it is. Like, just in general, counting absolutely everything. If it's not my favorite, it's in the top 3 to 5. Like, it is phenomenal. I love it. I love it to death. I think it's got some of the greatest style in Mario games. I feel like the lore is fantastic. The world is very well constructed. The music is incredible. The characters are great. They're not... everyone in this game had a personality. All the Toads look different. All the Toads have names, which is just insane. All the races, like the moles and stuff, they all have names. Like, it's just super fun. It's a fun game. It's an RPG, but it's like a short RPG, so it doesn't overstay its welcome. And in this remake, like, they added post-game content, they added cutscenes, they added new mechanics to the combat. Like, it just made the game so much better. And I think the only complaint I really have with it is just very, it's very hardcore nitpicks, but things like
certain enemies' names got changed, and that's just like from a purist standpoint, I guess. It's just something I don't like, but and something I don't really understand if there's no issue, but whatever. It's fine, whatever. That I can excuse that. But there's all other things like dialogue was changed, and I get like some of the dialogue might not be accepted now. One in particular that always sticks out to me that I thought was super funny in the original, but they took it out for the remake. There's a part where Mario and Mallow are talking. Mallow is the fluffy white guy with pink hair. And they're seeing some crap go down with another character and a boss, like an asshole. And an asshole boss. And and Mario is like ready to just run in, fist flying, to kick this guy's ass to help out the other character. Mallow holds him back and says, "Who do you think you are, Bruce Lee? You can't just go in like that." And I thought that was hilarious. It's almost like, Jesus, it's breaking the fourth wall. Like, they know who Bruce Lee is. But in this remake, they took that out. Now it's like, it's something like, "Oh, who do you think you are? You can't just go in there fist flying." Little things like that, because I've played the original so many times, bother me, you know? But I kind of understand. So it's fine. But if it was up to me, if I have to nitpick, that's what I would nitpick. But yeah, just the fact that this game exists is incredible, man. Just the fact that it got remade, just the fact that Square and Nintendo came together and made this, dude, I can't complain. That's why it's like, these are nitpicks that I will never actually deduct points on the game. To me, the game is a 9 out of 10. No, that, fuck that. The game is a perfect 10. I don't care. I was trying to be unbiased, but I can't. It's just so goddamn good, and the soundtrack is amazing. Go listen to that shit. The Gaming Asylum Radio, that's out. There's a Super Mario RPG episode. Go check that out, man. God, I love this game. Anyway, then December hits. Nothing really this month got me intrigued, to be honest. But Batman Arkham Trilogy came out on the 1st, and I was gonna pick it up. But then my, like, you know, common sense kicked in and said, there's no way this is gonna run that good, buddy. And I was right. Turns out the Arkham Trilogy is a not great purchase, at least not for $60. From what I understand, Arkham Asylum runs okay, which is funny because you'd think that'd run the best. Arkham City runs goddamn near perfect, and because that's the best game, you might find like it is worth it to get it. But then Arkham Knight is like damn near unplayable, apparently. It goes to like 0 frames per second at points. Like, that is insane to me. We all knew that Arkham Knight was going to run the worst. I just didn't think it would run like the worst, as in the worst game on the Switch ever. But yeah, that really sucks. So I kind of reserved purchasing this. Plus, I mean, I've played it on PS4, PS3, Xbox. Like, it's, I've done my rounds with these games a million times, so it's fine. I could skip on the Switch version, but I was looking forward to it. It's just, you know, it sucks that it didn't turn out to be a great game. Yeah, that was the year for me. Real quick, let me just get into 4 announcements that I also count as like why this year was so good. I already talked about Metal Gear Solid Delta, which is the Snake Eater remake. So that's coming out. I'm very excited for that. I hope they do that justice, because at the end of the day, this is Konami, and they haven't really proven themselves yet when it comes to making video games again. So I will reserve judgment until I see something, but or until I play it, really. But so far, it's looking good. Sega just came out at the Game Awards. I want to talk about this. They announced 5 games at the Game Awards. We got Golden Axe, Crazy Taxi, what else? Shinobi, Streets of Rage, and the one I care about the most, Jet Set Radio. There's going to be new entries for these series. Sega is finally doing what they should have been doing and focusing on their legacy IP rather than make a bunch of Sonic games that are mediocre. And then there's like the Like a Dragon Yakuza series, which is fine. You know, that has its fans. That does really well for Sega. That's fine. But, and then there's Persona. So to me, between Sonic, Persona, and Yakuza, or Like a Dragon as it's called now, I'm interested in Sonic. I've tried Like a Dragon. It's not for me. And I don't care for Persona. Persona and Last of Us are two things that if I ever hear again, I want to punch a dog. Like, it is so fucking overplayed and oversaturated, those two IPs. I get it has its fans, I understand, but Jesus Christ, talk about something else. But anyway, Once I heard these announcements, I was automatically super hyped. And these are five, but apparently there's more. I know Altered Beast is also on its way. And Kid Chameleon is also on its way. So Sega's definitely dipping back into their, you know, into their catalog and fishing things out that, you know, they're going to make new again, which I'm super excited for. Jet Set Radio is definitely on top of that to me. Like I said, Bomber Cyberpunk is one of my favorite games of all time at this point. And I think Sega saw that and said, oh crap, there's an audience for this. There's still an audience for this. We got to get Jet Set Radio out there. Because that's what people wanted. Like, Bomb Rush exists because Jet Set Radio disappeared. That's basically what happened. So the fact that a new Jet Set Radio comes out, they only showed like 5 seconds of it, but it looks like there's going to be parkour mechanics and, oh god, I can't wait for that shit. I love that world so much, and the fact that we're coming back to it at some point is going to be super cool. And I'm also interested to try everything else. Golden Axe, I'm not a huge fan of. I'd say the next one I'm excited for after Jet Set would probably be Streets of Rage, because Streets of Rage 4 was actually really good. So I guess they're bringing that back after Streets of Rage 4. I don't know. Anyway, Crazy Taxi was a fun time back in the day. Golden Axe was Golden Axe probably the one I'm least familiar with, along with Shinobi. So that's fine. Altered Beast, I think, sucks, but maybe they can make it better. Kid Chameleon is cool. What I really want to see Sega do, though, is Comic Zone. Comic Zone was such a cool idea back in the day. Like, that game was super hard, so I never got anywhere in it. But the fact that, like, you could kick, like, enemies through comic book panels and stuff, like, it was just such a cool idea. A very nice art style. Very nice concept. I could see that being really cool to look at in 2024 or 2025, whenever the hell this stuff comes out. Yeah, so hopefully that comes out really good. So yeah, Sega really delivered at the Game Awards to me. Another announcement. Oh man, I don't know which one to say for last. There's two announcements. I'm just going to... I got a coin here. Hold on, I'm going to flip it. Heads, we talk about... Oh, hold on, never mind, hold on. Okay. We finally got to see Grand Theft Auto 6. And... like, again, this was a 2023 announcement. 2023 is just an incredible year. An insane year for video games. GTA 6, the trailer came out. I did my little reaction to it. You could check it out on our shows. And whatever. It's like, sitting with it, I am super excited to get back into Vice City again. But more and more stuff comes out about this game. This map seems like it's going to be ridiculously huge. There's going to be so much more than Vice City. There's going to be, like... all kinds of cities, you know, all kinds of environments, all kinds of characters, and just crazy craziness. I like the fact that we're playing as a woman. I like the fact that we're also playing as a guy. I like the fact that they're kind of in a relationship, it seems, and you don't know where it's going. To me, I smell a betrayal. I smell a betrayal at the end. I don't know why. That's just how my brain is going. I smell a betrayal. But, getting to that is going to be amazing. That game is easily probably on top of most people's watch list. Like, that is just, you know, the next big thing. That is going to be a huge revolution in gaming. I could feel it. GTA 6 is set to be, you know, probably, it's probably going to make the most money ever out of any video game, because it's got a huge budget and the hype is insane. The YouTube video is at 150 million views or close to it or something like that. Like, it's insane. It's honestly insane. And mark my words, that game is going to break all kinds of records, man. All kinds. I'm super excited for it, for sure. And I guess the last thing I'll talk about, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That is my next most anticipated game. I don't need to talk much about Final Fantasy VII, but, you know, what else can I say about it? I'm excited about the fact that, like, it's open world. You get to explore so much more of this map. You get to, you're going to meet Vincent and Cid and Kate Sith, which is like who you're missing in the party. You're going to control Red 13 now, which is just awesome. I really hated the fact that you couldn't do that in the first game, but I understand. I'm excited to go to the Golden Saucer. I'm excited to do all the date scenarios. I'm excited to do the play that looks insane. I'm excited to see where this Zack Fair stuff is going. Like, why is he alive now? Why is he kicking? Why is it that Cloud and Aerith are in a coma pretty much in one timeline but are alive in another timeline? Can they not coexist? Like, there's a lot to really look into here. And I have no doubt that once I'm done playing Rebirth, I'm just going to be even more confused. But I welcome that. I think, you know, I'm down. I'm down for it. There's going to be 3 entries, so I assume I'm not going to get all the answers I'm looking for in Rebirth. But as long as something is answered from Remake, I'm good. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's easily... I might be more hyped for this than GTA 6, I'll be completely honest with you. But at the end of the day, it's just insane that, you know, we got all these announcements in 2023 along with amazing games, and it's setting up 2024 and 2025, and you can't ask for more, man. Like, I feel like we're gonna have a really good year. 2024 seems to be like, if I could say it, I think 2024 is gonna be a more chill year than 2023, because besides Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, to me at least, like, I don't really know what else I'm looking forward to. I know Nintendo's got like a couple games coming out, but like, I'm pretty sure they're gonna release a system next year. Like, I think the Switch is kind of coming to its end. You know, Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door is what I'm looking forward to from them next year, but that's a remake of a game that honestly I finished in like 2020. I went back to Thousand Year Door and finished it. I've never beaten it before. But that is, next to Mario RPG, that is the next best Mario RPG. So, you know, I'm excited to get back into that and see what they do with the Switch version. But yeah, no, I don't know, like, slow year so far, you know. But granted, they, you know, the year's not here yet. They're going to announce a bunch of stuff. That's cool. But yeah, I don't know. In terms of, like, things I'm looking forward to, that, hopefully Stellar Blade makes an appearance next year. I'd love to play that. Yeah, Luigi's Mansion 2, I guess. I never played that one on the 3DS, so maybe I could rectify some wrongs there. But overall, I'm sure 2024 will be fine, but 2023 was a banger, and it's going to be very hard to follow that up, man. I'm telling you. Lots of good announcements, lots of good games. Just a great year to, like, just be in, you know what I mean? Like, personally, if I could be honest with you guys, personally, it was a hard year for me, but gaming-wise, it was the best year for me. This shit kept me sane, man. This stuff got me through the year when things were looking rough. And, you know, video games to me, I think Chris has said it before, but they kept me out of trouble a lot of times. And, you know, they've saved my life a lot of times, believe it or not. I'm not going to get into why, but they have. It's just that I love this hobby, and I love this medium and this platform, and you know, even the industry to a point. I just feel like, you know, the creative is here. We have access to all these worlds. We have access to all these different realities that, like, are here for the taking. And, like, I don't know, I just find a lot of joy in that, you know, because a lot of times our real world can get kind of rough. All this craziness going on, all these political agendas going on. It's just nice to pick up a video game and transport yourself for a little bit. If nothing else, just to, you know, kind of stay sane. And yeah, that has been my 2023 review, I guess. You know, hope you guys had a good listen. Thank you for downloading this podcast. Thank you for downloading this show. Follow us on Instagram at Podcast Fresh, on Twitter at Podcast Fresh TO. Email us at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. We got a lot of other shows. Check out our Fresh Prince of Bel-Air review show, where we review every Fresh Prince episode ever. We're on season 5. Hopefully that'll end soon and we'll go to season 6. Check out our cafe, which is basically me and Chris come together to talk movies and video games. Check out this show, which usually drops, you know, every 1 to 2 weeks. I'll do a topic on a video game subject. And check out the Gaming Asylum Radio, man. I'll always pick a game, I highlight it, I go through its OST, and we have a good listen. We have a nice little, you know, 1 hour. I typically keep it from 30 minutes to an hour. Mario RPG went to an hour and a half. I couldn't bring myself to take out songs. I just had to put them all in there. But no, typically it is half an hour to an hour. And yeah, you just vibe with the music that I throw up on a mix, man. It's good times. It's good times. And yeah, guys, I think that's going to be it for this year. If I see you guys before the end of the year, then I do. But if not, everybody have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, and I'll see you guys in 2024. Peace.
podcast fresh.